Hi, everyone. This is Luke John Louis, your host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for listening today. We have a treat in store for us, a guest named Brian Glick. He's an incredible individual who's on a mission. And I first met Brian at a networking event that we both attended. And right away, I was intrigued by the work that he does in the music field as an entertainment advisor at Covert Connector, a firm he founded. And he's on a mission to assist musicians to become the stars we know and love to get them exposure. He has recently started the Visionary Initiative, a music initiative to revitalize the arts. We're really fortunate to have him here. And he is a very busy man, so we're so happy that he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to kind of sit down and have a chat with us. Now, Brian, you have an incredible mission. But first, if you could just tell us about, you know, your background, yourself, and how you ended up gravitating towards this line of work in the first place.
Sure. Yeah. I love networking. Thank you so much for having me. First of all, it's amazing how things just revolve and come right back around to you. So growing up, I came from a suburban town in New York, and it was a very introverted, shy type of guy, you know, trying to like find my way in the world. And, you know, as you know, I grew up, I've always yearned for more, and I wanted to get into something, you know, that really could put my feet into. And once I graduated high school, I went away to college upstate and really was able to spread my wings and be able to like explore like the inner self of who I am. You know, I realized I'm actually creative, whereas like coming from, you know, the town I was in, you know, Long Island, it really didn't foster that kind of thing. And I, you know, wasn't able to really explore the side of me that would be like doing that kind of stuff. And I, being away at college by myself, I was able to make new friendships, start talking to people. I would go to parties, just introduce myself and like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? And I really took to this like extroverted lifestyle and, you know, kind of like, was like, you know, after I graduated, I was like, you know, why can't I like make a career out of networking and just really applying it to somebody who, you know, needs something, you know, and that. So I took like what I learned from that. I've read books, took, you know, self-help classes and just really realized that like there are so many people who were like me that, you know, need to overcome these challenges. So why not apply what I learned to them? So, you know, as I kept going to networking groups, I met more people who have diverse field. And honestly, like, I've always had an affinity towards music ever since I was a kid. It got me through times, go to bed, listen to it. And so it really all happened by chance. One day I walked into this bar and they had like, you know, I was doing like this, you know, fun thing I did, you know, called which is tarot card readings upstairs. And I went downstairs, started talking to the owner, and he was like, "Hey, if you want, you can put on a show." I'm like, "What? A show? I'm not like in that field. If I know people who are musicians, you know, let's do this. So, I got a couple of my friends, and we hosted an event. There was three artists, you know, and a comedian, and we had a pretty decent crowd come. And I was like, "That was great. Do you want to do it again?" I'm like, "Okay, sure. Why not?" So we did that again, and then my friends would ask me, "Hey, can we go somewhere else?" And it just snowballed. And I'm like, "You know what? Since I learned how to become an extrovert and about like, you know, myself, what about learning the music industry?" So I started reaching out to like these really heavy-duty industry professionals, asking them a million questions: "How does this work?
Right.
What do you do?" And things like that. And, you know, I kept going and I learned the thing and that. And, you know, it's just like, it's so funny because I'm like a self-learner more than going to like a college or a class. I mean, a graduate college, but I believe, you know, you learn so much about yourself from just talking to other people, interacting and finding out their stories. So Once I did that, I started, you know, I just continued to host shows, and I'm like, I need to evolve this and step it up to the next level. So what I want to do is really, what I started doing is taking artists one-on-one here and there and, like, kind of developing them, going on tours, you know, being kind of like their, you know, all around everything. You know, I'm your best friend, I'm your therapist, I'm your manager.
Wow.
Whatever you need, call me, and I could connect you to that person. You know, you need to talk to a lawyer about music. Sure, I got that. You need to talk to, you know, a photographer just to get pictures. You need to, you know, hell, you need an accountant. I got that for you. You know, whatever it is, I'll take care of that because, you know, A, they have so much going on and so much to take care of, whereas I just love interacting. So why not do what I love best and, you know, have them do what they love best? Because, like, that's the thing in life. You're going to be a little bit good at some things, but if you're a lot of bit good, I know that's a horrible
image
at something. So why not hone in on what you love to do? So I love just connecting people, so I continue to do that. So so that's kind of how Covert Connector started. So
that's amazing. You know, there's an old saying that when you do what you love, you never have to work a day in your life. You know, you've probably heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very blessed. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can say that. So I mean, that is just an amazing story about personal growth. You know, going from an introvert to an extrovert. You know, finding your passion almost by accident, you know, finding what you're good at. That's what life's all about, finding what your talents are and then trying to maximize those talents. Because I think we're all blessed with gifts, each and every one of us, and we have to know what those gifts are. And it's so important for people to pursue their gifts and also to pursue what they love. That's how you, you know, achieve personal fulfillment. It's not through making money, because a lot of people make money, they're miserable because they do stuff they, you know, they do stuff they hate, but to do something that you absolutely love. You know, I think that's what Maslow was talking about with personal actualization. That is an incredible, inspiring story. And you can just feel the passion in your voice, you know, when it comes to the subject of music and, you know, what it's done for you, you know, the opportunities you've been able to take advantage of. And so it's just incredible. You're an inspiring person to listen to. And I know the listeners out there will feel the same way. Here's the thing. I mean, now, can you kind of talk to us about the current state of the music world and the arts? I mean, you know, you have the pandemic. You know, what challenges has the pandemic posed? And, you know, and are there any other music initiatives you're doing by any chance that we'd love to know about?
Well, yes. Okay. So, yes, the current state is very interesting. And what I am doing, the Visionary Initiative, I will get into further in this conversation because it all ties together. So, when the pandemic hit, like, music was how it was. It evolved from, you know, a really, you know, free-based society, and there were just different things going on, and it was thriving, but artists still didn't get the rights they needed. They were, you know, got, you know, they would tour and, you know, just go all over the map, be stressed out. They would get paid little on their, you know, their whatever they got. You know, they were at the bottom of the barrel. They're gig workers. They don't get benefits really, and there's nothing real supporting of that. So anyway, once the pandemic hit, everything crashed, the world crashed, and everybody was in a state of, like, you know, panic and going everywhere and not sure what to do. So, you know, I'm sure everybody was lost. So what I did, and we're secluded, and, like, I was so used to just going to different bars and restaurants and just talking to people and networking events, like I met you at a networking event. I always do that. So nobody could do that anymore. So I'm like, why should I stop that? So I would continue to email artists I spoke to just to say, hey, how you doing? Or just business owners that I really connected. Hey, what are you doing now that nothing's going on? Just to keep the conversations alive, keep things going, and make sure, you know, A, you don't go insane and talk to yourself all the time and just to know that, like, hey, I'm here to support you, you're here to support me. And the problem was, excuse me, we lost, everybody lost, you know, the industry lost the momentum, the money. And
right.
The biggest thing about music is you want to see a live performance. And with COVID and the dangers
right.
of that, you can't pack a room, you know, especially in New York, they closed, you know, they have like laws
right.
really restricting that. So I dug down hard. I spoke to all these people that I knew, my friends, family, music industry, businesses. And I just took a pen and paper, wrote frantically, read books, and I'm like, some things got to be done. You have to take
right.
an initiative. You have to do something that is different, bigger, better. I want to come out of this and, A, you know, obviously make a name for myself, make some money, and B,
right.
improve the quality of life of these people, my people, the people that I've met and the people I will meet in the future. So, I decided to start something called the Visionary Initiative, which is
right.
taking networking groups, which is businesses I want, and really build a coalition to take on these issues. We're going to have a show
mm-hmm.
at least
right.
once or twice a month virtually streaming, and then
wow.
by mid-year, we're going to be able to raise funds to get you know, a centralized hub where we could tackle all these issues on, you know, music and entertainment
mm-hmm.
as a whole. I literally, during the elections, I called every person in my county who was running, and I'm like, besides like the president, obviously can't even touch them.
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing for the entertainment industry? And, you know, what's your stance on that? And what is your plans? And I emailed like all six representatives running for it, and whoever responded
right.
to me. That was how I based my vote. And, you know, one guy really put his faith in me, and we still talk now, and hopefully, you know, I could, you know, embark on further explorations of that.
Wow, that is an amazing story. You know, there's a saying about how crisis leads to opportunity. And, you know, when something happens, people start to get very innovative, very creative. And so how you, you know, this story of how you spearheaded, you know, this initiative is just incredible, and how you reached out to politicians. You know, very few people think to do that, you know, and so it's so important to be somewhat on a first name basis with local representatives to see how they're, you know, to get them to make changes, because they say that they don't do anything until, you know, they're pressured by constituents. And so it's so important for people to reach out to them. So that is so amazing and so inspirational and inspiring. I think that the Visionary Initiative is incredible. And later on, I'd love for you to tell people how people can assist you or reach out to you on how to grow this thing. So, you know, we talked about the current state. Now I want to, you know, talk about the future. Where do you see the music world and the arts going in the future post-pandemic when, you know, things die down with this COVID? It probably will never go away, but it's just after, you know, somewhat blows over. I mean, where do you see yourself as well and the Visionary Initiative?
Well, as I listen to, like, some of these, like, you know, self-help things, they really recommend you talking in the present. I mean, it sounds silly, but you are doing things right now, and there are things happening right now. The future, there is speculations of what's happened, but there are some amazing, amazing technologies that are bringing people together, having access for artists to perform, but they're just not in the forefront of their mind. They're not in the presence of people. First off, there's what we call is the hybrid shows, where when it's applicable or depending on where it is, you have a couple people at the venue, and then you have the venue itself, and then, you know, you'll have streaming from a phone, a computer, or whatever it is from there. I'll drop a couple of names of, like, companies I truly enjoy and truly work to. Like, Limelight is a new app that is kind of like a streaming straight for musicians. You get to, you know,
wow.
Write your responses to them. and say like, wow, I love it. And you know, you see the performances live from anywhere. You could perform in your home. I just took a tour of this place called Degby World, which is you're an avatar in this own little world. You walk around, you talk, you see a live performance, you get sponsors. So I'm going to host a show in there. And then I'm doing a show at a room and just streaming it live. There's all these opportunities right now that's happening. There's this app I started using called Clubhouse, which is a basic talking app where you talk to each other, but there's like people who do all different things, influencers, and, you know, they do art auctions, they do, you know, anything you can dream of. You know, you just got to be really creative with the tools you have right now. And I believe going into the future, there's going to be more virtual reality. There's going to be these hybrid systems. Once we're able to get out there, you know, we'll be able to stream to everywhere. So, you know, when you had shows before, it was, you know, you're just at this one location. But now if I'm in New York, you could see it in Europe. You could see it in, you know, wherever through these streaming apps.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. It's so interesting how crisis can lead to opportunity. You know, now how people, you know, they're going online to see things, and now you can, you know, present it, perform, and have people all over the world, you know, to enjoy the music of an artist. It's very incredible. What kind of artists do you work with specifically? Is it all kinds, all genres, or just?
Well, I used to be like specific, but I realized what I do is more of a global thing, and just genre wise, I'm here for the artist. I'm here to help you grow no matter what you are. I don't like exactly book shows for a specific art. Yeah, I take clients one-on-one, but I'm here to help you evolve as an artist. And it doesn't matter what genre you are. I'm here to point you in the direction. I'm going to give you resources towards your goals. So if I don't know that resource, I'll be able to pinpoint in my database on who will get you those resources. So I'm not going to be the one with all the answers, as much as I'd love to have all the answers, and I have answers. Nobody has all the answers, but I know people who have the answers. Like I, with, you know, you say, hey, I need this. I just like ping in my brain, be like, I got those people for you. And that's what I do. I'm like a conduit trying to get you to your, you know, your destination. And as long as you, you know, you have some sort of foundation and know a general direction you're going, I can get you there. And if you don't have that general direction, I do build strategies for you, and I'll sit with you, and, you know, we could build a game plan and do it. Like, and honestly, I love all types of music. It doesn't matter whether it is rock, rap, EDM, jazz. It's I love it. You know, I'll work with anything, you know, and I want, you know, the arts to thrive in general.
That's amazing. And you're someone who actually travels the country. Well, maybe prior to the pandemic, or maybe not so much now, but you actually traveled the country.
I'm tearing up now. No lack of travel.
Yeah.
I miss it. Oh my God. Yeah. I've been so many places. And that was the greatest thing. Like every month I would be somewhere different, and it would just be so freaking cool. Just the different diversity of people, meeting them and, you know, befriending them. And then you carry the friendships on through, you know, time. And, you know, it's just really just checking back on them, see how much they grow. And, you know, they'd visit you and you'd offer them a show and you'd visit them. And, you know, it's just really, really cool. And just seeing the sites and stuff like that. But now taking it to a virtual plane, it's kind of interesting. I've made so many virtual friends that I've been working with for months that I've never actually really met. And when this all blows away, I would love to just go out and visit and be like, you know, see them face to face. And it would be really cool to travel again and, you know, meet them.
Well, hopefully that comes about sooner rather than later. We'll just hope and pray. But it's so great that through your line of work, you were able to travel. I mean, not a lot of people can, you know, have that opportunity that you could see. You've been to all these different places in, you know, in the country and whatnot. So incredible. I know a lot of people out there are very envious. I am, you know, sign me up. You know, what am I doing? I should be doing what you're doing. And, you know, so it's, you're definitely in the right line of work. So here's the thing. Obviously, you've seen a lot of things. You've been to a lot of places. Are there any, can you tell us any of the most moving or entertaining stories from your career so far, if you don't mind?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I've had a lot of entertaining and moving situations. One that hits me personally, before the pandemic hit in at the beginning of 2020, I went to my last conference with my client in February. And I was slated to go to South by Southwest in March, present an unofficial showcase. And I was like, rare and ready to go. So anyway, we go to this show and the pandemic hit. But at that show, before my artist performed, there was this girl on stage and she just put on this incredible, awesome, just wacky, weird performance. And we were just all enthralled. Afterwards, we talked to her. She's from Iceland and she was visiting, you know, looking to get a job here. And, you know, anyway, we ended up befriending her, talking to her. And my client lives in New York City, in London City, and she was staying in the city. So we offered a ride there. Anyway, I, you know, continued my really, you know, talking to this girl for a while. Mm-hmm. And she was just stuck in New York on a couch for the pandemic because she had this job that she really couldn't explore that we're supposed to. And we just like, you know, and then I fell in like, you know, I fell into like, you know, that 2020 track of like, and we just like talked to each other and built like this relationship back and forth. And she was just such a like really smart, inspiring person. And, you know, we kind of like had a really short little relationship and it was just really great. And she really like lifted my spirits and just like put me in the direction I needed to be to get this goal happening. If it wasn't like for me meeting her and intersecting with her and hearing what she has to do about, with music industry as her personality, as just a really friend and also music, you know, liaison, we really like, you know, explored our minds and just really our souls and, you know, just got ourselves to a situation where like, okay, this is a shitty situation that's happening in 2020, but the fact that we were able to talk it through and just, you know, explore our personalities and, you know, give us that extra push over the edge to, you know, to follow our dreams. That was the most amazing thing that, you know, probably happened to me like this year. And like, you know, she's just still my best friend and we just talk over. She's like, you know, a million miles away and like anything I need, I'm like, hey, I got a question on this, or hey, my client needs some help with that, and she's like, hey, I have you know, an event that I'm looking to do, can you give me advice? And it's just like, it's just an open thing like that. And you know, it's just really like, you know, just awesome that, you know, you know, just you're reassured that there are people out there like that.
Wow, that's incredible, actually. It's interesting, you know, you get to go to all these places and you meet all these incredible people and, you know, you're out there and you're communicating with these folks and you see the growth. You went from someone who was an introvert and now you're traveling, you're rubbing elbows with all these kind of, you know, major musicians, artists, folks in the industry. It's an incredible story. You should definitely write a book one day. You know.
Oh, yeah, I would buy it. Actually, on that fact, I do have a writer who's writing kind of a little like a blog on myself and my thing. So I will actually have something out in the near future about my ventures. I mean, I would love to extend it to a major book, but I do have a little mini novel of my what I've been doing that will be coming out. I'm not sure where it's going to be, but I mean, I'll definitely double back and tell you where it is, so you tell your viewers where to find that when it comes out.
No problem. So when that happens, we would love to have you come back on here, and we'd love to have you. Many times that you want to be on here, our door is open.
You know, sure,
but. So obviously I was doing a lot of research on you. I went on your website and whatnot, and apparently it says that, you know, you've done things like pitch on Shark Tank, you know, and, which is incredible. And you've You've worked with artists like Kendra Black and Tina. I mean, that's just I mean, that's just amazing. You know, I wish I could work with, you know, major artists like that and get paid for it, you know, and have that be my career. So I think that, you know, you're obviously, you have the dream job, the dream career. And obviously with this pandemic, it's a stumbling block, but, you know, we'll, as time goes by, this will pass. So, you know, so to speak. And so here's the thing. I mean, you know what, obviously you talked about your memoirs, which is great. And I'm definitely going to check that out when it comes out. Definitely keep me posted. And I wanted to know what important life lessons. Obviously, you're just, you know, you're young and you're starting on this journey. It's only been the first couple of steps. But so far, what are the most important life lessons you've learned yourself or from others along the way?
Okay. Oh, God. Wow. there's a lot. Be true to yourself above anything. Listen to what you want. People will give you advice and, you know, take it in, but really listen to what you want to do with that. Use that information and, like, analyze it. Write things out. Always write things out, like, whether it's on paper or a, you know, a computer, and really just deconstruct your brain, take it apart, put it together. Make sure you know your goals are what you want, not somebody else's goals. And, you know, try to construct that, you know, and make that happen. That's the most important thing, is be true to who you are and who you want to be. Because
right.
You don't want to be miserable doing something that somebody else wanted you to do. Another thing
right.
is very, very important. Don't cross anybody, you know, intentionally and majorly, and talk negatively about people, because
right.
especially in the music industry, or it's very small, and people will hear what you say. And just a general rule of thumb in life, you shouldn't really, like,
right.
you know, badmouth people, you know, in negative ways. You know, so just, like, be wary of what you say and how you say it, and what you
right.
do, because it will come back to bite you in the future. You know, just like, you know, you run into people, you know, like, I ran into somebody the other day that I haven't seen in 10 years in the industry, that's really high up there. And it was just really cool reconnecting. And it was just, no, we didn't, like, depart on any like bad terms. It's just like, I went one way and they went the other way. And, like, I was invited to this event, and it happened to be at their studio. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in, like, since I started my career. This is so cool. And this is, like, you never know when you're going to see that person again. So make sure, you know, you do right, you know, by
right.
people.
That's amazing. That's incredible advice and that you've shared. So, you know, that's advice I'm going to take to heart. And thank you for sharing it. And now I want to actually inquire for more advice. yeah, but something different this time. You know, if you're an aspiring artist, it's tough. You know, you always hear the story of the struggling artist who hasn't made it yet, who's eating cheese and crackers, ramen and whatnot. And you see these street performers who are practicing their craft. They call it busking out on the street. And it's so tough because you see shows like American Idol. Apparently, I was reading an article. There's a statistic that over 90% of people, contestants who try to get on American Idol, they don't even make it to the TV stage on the episode. You know, they're actually eliminated much earlier than that. And so many people have a dream to be an artist, and very few make it. It's like winning the lottery, so to speak. You know, there's so many aspiring artists and very few make it. Many will enter, only a few will win. And there's so many talented musicians, and only a few of them will reach those, you know, pearly heights, so to speak. And I'm just curious, what advice would you give out there to an artist who's struggling, who's close to giving up, who wants to maybe quit and, you know, get a day job that they hate and wants to, you know, leave being true to who they are, like you said before. Like, what would you tell them to motivate them to accomplish their dreams and to get the exposure that they need to make it?
Okay. First off, that whole picture you painted is, you know, it sounds delightful, and people see that, like, you know, thing that they can't reach. Honestly, it's all smoke and mirrors. You are your own star. It doesn't matter,
right. You
know, how super famous you get. You can be famous within your town. You can be famous within your community. You can be famous at any levels. You don't have to be on every single channel. You know, it's proved this year the little people really rose through and became stars of themselves. There are so many different, like, outlets. There's so many different subgenres.
Right.
And so many different things that you can pave your own path. You know, you should measure what success is to you, not what success is to the world. You know, when you get knocked down, get back up every single time. I mean, that's what I did. That's what I do. One of my favorite things, one of my, like, things that I watched throughout, like, the pandemic was the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I'm a geek like that.
Right.
But one of my favorite characters was Daredevil, because he would get knocked down, but he knew what he wanted, and he fought for his beliefs, and every time he got knocked down, he got backed up, and he fought for what he believed in, and that's what you should do. You should fight for, you know, your true being, your inner strength, your desire to be unique, your desire to be an artist, and don't worry about the obstacles. The obstacles, if you paint your path in the direction you want to be, they'll clear. It's going to be hard. It is hard. It always is hard. And, you know, life wouldn't be that way if it wasn't.
Right.
But, you know, starving artists is a mentality. You know, just take that mentality, get it out of your head. Say, I'm an artist and I will succeed. I will get what I want. I have the resources. Money is just an imaginary thing that we use as a commodity to get our advances. Measure success by what you value.
Definitely. And, you know, this reminds me of the law of attraction and the secret, as they call it. I'm sure you're aware of.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. you think positive and, you know, you think it, you act for it, you think it, you believe it, you achieve it. And, yeah, I truly believe that. You know, if you imagine it, truly feel it, it will manifest. And I think that's people, you know, it's so easy to think negative, but you have to consciously work to think positive. And, you know, it's interesting how so many artists who we know and love today actually had a rough start, because, you look at the Beatles, right? When they were starting out, there was an executive who said that they wouldn't make it.
Right.
Crazy, right? And then you look at Elvis Presley. He got fired from the Grand Ole Opry. Because and a guy said, "Hey, you'll never make it. You'll just go back to driving trucks." And you know, it's reminds me of Colonel Sanders getting knocked down 1,000 times, and he finally made it with KFC. And so, a lot of artists, they had this rough start, and they could have quit. They could have gave up. You know, the Beatles could have said, "You know, we suck. We're not going to do this anymore." But they didn't do that, and they persevered. So I think that's so important. You know, and people need to understand that history, be inspired by those artists. And it's incredible how so many artists have been booed off the stage, you know, particularly at the Apollo Theater, but then later on made it and whatnot. Here's the thing. What advice would you give someone who's interested in doing the same line of work that you're doing right now, being a facilitator, conduit for artists, so to speak?
Start by learning the industry, make connections, start off small, don't take big chunks of the time, and, you know, just dial it back, little baby steps to get there. Understand that nothing happens overnight. Relationships manifest over years. It's not going to come 1, 2, 3. One of the first promoters I met way back in the day, he said the average time it takes for somebody to make it in the industry is 8 to 10 years. It's a long freaking time. And I mean, I've lasted that long, and I'm just starting to peak right now. And it's just really cool. You know, feel free to reach out to me for advice. I'll give you that stuff at the end. Basically understand that it's not, like I said, nothing comes easy, but, like, it's very rewarding. And do your research on the people you're working with, because you don't want to align yourself with people who don't have the same values as you, which would be counterproductive from, you know, your end game and your goals.
Oh, wow. Just amazing. It's interesting what you mentioned before, that nothing that's worth having, you know, comes easy. And you got to work, you got to be patient. I think so many times people want instant gratifications. And if it doesn't happen right away, they're pissed off, you know. So I think you've learned at a young age that major life lesson that of persistence, of it takes time, baby steps, as you mentioned. People want to go from A to Z in 2 seconds. That's not oftentimes how success works. And you mentioned 8 to 10 years, you know.
Right, and trust me, that's shiny object syndrome. You see that shiny object, you want it. And trust me, I've went for that shiny object so many times that, you know,
right.
you always get that, wait, oh, God damn it, you know, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Right. Right, definitely. And so, but obviously you didn't get distracted too much. You're basically on your path. You're on your journey. And I know you're going to make it. That's why I'd love for as many people as possible to know about you. So I guess I get to my next question. Can you describe all the ways that people can, you know, reach out and connect with you and help you with your mission?
Absolutely. I'm on a bunch of different mediums. Email is contact@covertconnector, COVERTCONNECTOR. That's the name of my company. I'm on Instagram @covertconnector. I'm on Facebook @covertconnector. My website is covertconnector.com. You see a theme here. And then also Clubhouse, which I highly recommend people start using. I just love it and innovational. It's my name, Brian Glick, BRYANGLICK. It's a very like elite society. You have to be invited by somebody to be on it, but I would definitely start using that. So those are the mediums I'm on and my site, and you know, you can reach out to me any which way you please. I answer most of them. I don't really do my Facebook business page too much, which I should. I also have a group in Facebook called Covert Connector Connections, which I give you nice hints and tips about the industry, things going on, other people post opportunities. So it would be ideal for you, if you're anywhat related to any field of entertainment industry, to go on Facebook, join that group, and just follow the post, because it's just cool stuff and just keeps you up on the up on things. So I think that's everywhere I am. And, you know, yeah.
Great. That's wonderful. And also, what I'm going to do is that all this information that you just provided us with, that people can, you know, utilize to get in touch with you, I'm going to put that up on the screen in the episode box, so people can read it off there. They'll see it there, and obviously they can press rewind or bring the thing back and hear you say it over again, and whatnot. I definitely want listeners to invite Brian Glick into their network. This is a guy I truly feel is a principled individual. I consider him a good friend, and I know you guys will too. I guess that's sort of my last question for now, but I actually have another question that just popped up in my head, or something I want to bring up. You know, we actually mentioned the law of attraction and how you have to, you know, how good things happen to those who wait. And I was just thinking to myself, a lot of people out there may think that's hocus pocus. I think a lot of people are, you know, just very skeptical about things like that. And not a lot of people are reaching out for their dreams the way you continue to reach out and whatnot. And I think what people need to realize is when they believe something will happen, it's not like a magical force. It's when you think about a red car, right? You know, you go outside, you see all these red cars, and you're like, where did this come from? I think when you believe something's possible, you see the opportunities that you didn't see before. And, you know, opportunities are all around us. And I think, you know, you utilize those opportunities because you came from a small town where you said not a lot was going on. And look where you are today. You know, you've been all over the country. You've met with a lot of great artists. You've been on Shark Tank for crying out loud. And, you know, and so I think that if people, if they, you know, if people dream it, it can happen, particularly in this great country of ours. I think opportunities out there, and people just, you know, need to understand that. I mean, if you want to add something to that point, feel free to go right ahead. And
yeah, as I said throughout the whole thing, just follow your heart, because if you are untrue to what you are, it's called imposter syndrome. Like, I know we label these things. You don't want to pretend you're somebody else and have the duality in your mind and fight yourself over yourself, because it's painful. I go through this. I'm shedding this, and I'm not going to, like, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't, like, you know, you have to fight to who you truly want to be and what you truly want, because if you don't, you know, it just, that's why, you know, there's so much animosity, there's so much, you know, conflict, there's so much, life would be so much easier if you just would go with what your intuition is and go with, you know, your dreams and aspirations instead of, like, covering up and shielding yourself to stuff that you don't believe you, you know, you think you don't know. And yeah, it's, you're not going to make one thing. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to make it to that place by yourself, figuring it out by yourself. You need an army of people to really make you realize it, and you need the right type of people and, you know, the right type of training. And it's not easy to find that. And, you know, there, like you mentioned before, there are situations like economical, you know, family issues, everything is there. And, you know, this is something you cannot avoid, but, you know, it's just like, you have to have your whole mind, body, 360 degree, you know, senses about you, and believe you can conquer all.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing, because it's interesting how you apply the law of attraction, and you also became an extrovert, and you kind of spread out your web, of, you know, your network and whatnot. And what I find, what I want to tell people is that you mentioned before that you read a lot of self-improvement books or literature or whatnot, right? And there's a book that I love that's one of my favorite books. It's by an author named Richard Wiseman. He's British. He wrote a book called The Luck Factor, where he basically did an investigation on lucky people that consider themselves lucky and who have had a lot of success in their lives. He wanted to find the key to success. Like, how do successful people and lucky people become that way? And it's not through chance. There was actually certain things that they all had in common. And a few of them are the things we just mentioned. One of them was they always thought of themselves as being lucky, and they had an optimistic outlook, and they were very positive. And because of that, they had an antenna to see the opportunities that people who are negative don't see. And so it's not some kind of magic or whatever. It's, you know, this is a real principle that's been studied and that's real. And he also found that one of the keys to success was that there was a personality trait a lot of lucky people had in common, and it was called extroversion, being extroverted. The reason why is because the more people you know, the more opportunities become available to you, you know? And so it's not necessarily luck. You know, they say luck is opportunity meeting chance. And, you know, so it's you got to show up and you got to expand your network. Because what happened was, since they were so extroverted, so many people knew of them, and they were able to, you know, get jobs, get deals, because they had so many friends. And when you're isolated and perhaps you're not putting yourself out there, you don't get as many opportunities that an extroverted individual would get. And I know it's not easy, because I'm a natural introvert, But it's so important for everyone to network and get themselves out there, because those are some of the rules you apply, the law of attraction and networking. You love to do that. That's how we met, and that's why, you know, you're here on this show. And so it's a great book. Everyone should go out and get it. And also another key to success is that people who get knocked down, they don't give up. They get back up. You know, this idea of perseverance and patience is so important. And, you know, the lucky people had bad things happen to them, but what happened was that they framed it in a way that it was just something that was a minor setback, and it wasn't too bad. They say that 90% of life is how you respond to things that happen to you. 10% is what happens to you, but 90% is how you respond to it, and I truly believe that. So I probably talked a little longer than I should have, and I apologize for that. But, you know, this is something that I'm passionate about, as you know, when it comes to success. Is there anything you want to just, you know, this will be the, you know, final send-off. Is there anything you want people to know about you or life in general and whatnot? You have the last word, and you can just.
Ooh, I get the last word. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because
it's an honor. I'm the last word. Well, first of all, building off of what you said, the laws of laws, there's the laws of gestation, which is the law of time, which this happened through the law of gestation. We, you know, you came across me back again, a guy like 5, 8 years, whatever it is, boom,
right.
It hits. And like, oh my God, this opportunity came. And as a performer, well, that's on that note, which is really cool and things come. As a performer in the music world, the entertainment world, own your stage, own the stage that is what you have, be the personality that you want to be, and just make it flourish. Get people to,
right,
you know, come to you for a reason. Don't be selling yourself, you know, have your personality sell you, and just own that as much as you can. And like I've been saying this, be the person who you always wanted to be, because that's the most important thing, and then everything will come to you in time.
Great. Thank you so much for that. And so, I view you as an incredible person, so I want to thank you for taking time out of your packed schedule to speak with us. And I hope the listeners, they totally enjoyed this this interview. I'm sure they did. I'd love to have you come back sometime in the future, definitely when you have your memoirs out there and published. I'll be one of the first customers to go out and buy and read it. So again, I wanted to thank you, and you can reach out to Brian Glick very easily. The information will be in the episode description box. So definitely take a look at this. Reach out to Brian, have Brian, you know, be in your network, and it's so important that we, you know, people network and meet as many people as possible. That's how luck happens, so to speak. So thank you so much, Brian. You have a wonderful day. I hope to speak with you soon, and everyone out there, you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, everyone, for participating and listening, and can't wait to get back to doing what I love, and I know you feel the same way. Thank you so much, Brian. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.